It's been almost a decade since the hookup app Grindr debuted on people's phones, and it's been a shit show ever since. But hey, it's not all that bad if you can sort through all the catfishers, racists, and toxic masculinity. You might just have a good time.
Maybe the users are just awful, or maybe it's the app's fault for reducing everyone to their physical attributes rather than their personality. Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to look at ways gay men use and abuse or please and tease each other on dating apps, from catfishing and buyer's remorse to gay incels whose male privilege gets them into a tizzy when someone says no.
After all, man's rejection is God's protection. Plus, China's new skyscraper, the Guangxi New Media Center, looks exactly like a dong and balls shooting fireworks from the top.
And politician Luke Anus can't catch a break from Facebook.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
It's been almost a decade since the hookup app Grindr first made its appearance on people's phones. And ever since then, it's been a shit show.
Well, depending on how much anal's involved, right?
And some people are fully into that. God bless them. God bless them.
Our guest today is the better, faster, stronger, and kinder new generation, Matt Brown.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you.
Who's also fucking hilarious.
God bless you. I do try to be a stand-up comedian and make the children laugh.
And you're sexually active on the internet.
I had sex yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Yay,
congratulations. I know. So yeah, active.
That's good to know. Now, What was the first time you ever went online to look for another person to have sex with?
Okay, so this is just a deep insight to like the inner workings of Miss Brown. I like to do very, very intensive research and development before I do anything. So I was like on Grindr just seeing how the world worked for like 4 years before I ever had sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you were just shopping around.
I just wanted to know what was available, like what was around. How does this work?
How old were you?
13 to 17.
And were you using your own pictures or were you using
other
pictures?
I've always looked old. Okay. Yeah, I've always used mine. It was never a problem.
What would you describe your appearance to when you were 13 years old to people who hadn't seen those photos?
The way that I would describe the difference in my appearance between then and now is that I was a little skinnier, so my head looked a little bigger. But other than that, I was still just like tall and skinny and light skinned and had green eyes. And like being exotic in a small town, people are just like their eyes
exotic
light up
meaning of
excited.
Mixed heritage.
Sure.
Like Mariah Carey.
I am
or Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I'm darker than Mariah Carey. So if she's black, I am milk chocolate. Like I was in a boy band with Bobby Brown in the 90s. If Mariah Carey's black.
Well, she is half black, isn't her
she's
mom black?
A quarter. Her dad is white. No, her mom is white.
Okay.
Her dad is half white. No, her dad is half Colombian or Venezuelan and half black. So her daddy be light-skinned with a little bit of Spanish in there. And then her mom was white and they were raised in the suburbs and there was no struggle. So I don't want to hear about it.
So when when you're
that GTFO single, that's what I'm saying. Get the fuck out, Mariah.
When you're rendezvousing with a stranger for sex, and we live in a racist world full
of
prejudice. And some people... don't show certain features of their body because they want to sort of be accepted on a superficial level and not seen as African-American or Latino or
Asian.
Yeah,
so I don't show my big dick till I have to. I keep it under wraps because, like, I don't want them to judge me as a black man with a big dick. Yeah. I just want them to, like, I don't know, just experience the neutral big dick.
And it's just kind of like a big surprise.
Yeah. And then when they realize that, you know, it's a black dick, then they can put their own emotions onto it and have their own problems.
Now you got me curious.
Exactly.
So have you ever...
my dick pic to you on Dropbox after.
Have you ever, like, masked any aspects of your physical appearance in order to pass for white?
I guess nature did that for me. So,
but, I mean, do you wear, like, a hat, or do you...
Never. No, she because wears, yeah. I feel like if I were to wear a hat to cover my hair, it would just make my forehead look even bigger. So, like, I needn't draw attention to that specific feature. I just kind of, if I have short hair at the time, if I've recently cut my hair really short, you're probably going to think I'm Mexican. You're probably going to
Latino.
Think, probably going to think that I am that, or like Egyptian, or some like a light-skinned Arab, that I am something, but most people's instinct is not black until they see my hair texture.
What's the 1% rule for people who are not familiar with that?
The 1% rule in America, for our international viewers in Venezuela and India, I don't know, I just feel like you'd grow a large demographic there. For the one drop rule is basically that anyone who has any black heritage whatsoever in this country down to a 32nd is considered black. That comes out of slavery. That comes out of needing to keep the free labor pool as large as it possibly could be.
And that's it's a value that's both seen by people who are the oppressor and the oppressed.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
but
definitely.
In Latin American countries, it's very interesting because that is flipped on its head. So if you have 1% of anything else in you, you are not black at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's it's very hard historically to organize for civil rights in Latin American countries because so many few people are like, well, I'm not black like those people.
No. My grandma was Indio. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Well, Morenita.
Exactly.
Trigueño, but never negra.
No. Yeah. Y mi abuelo era de España. Cállate. But what I think is really interesting, I was just reading this for school because I'm a sociology major and they make us pay attention to everything. Back like in like 1500s Mexico, back when like, you know, it was Nueva España and like they were totally like reconquering it, they would like they still had slaves too, and there's a lot of indigenous mixing with black and indigenous mixing with the Spanish and a lot of that. They would actually tattoo the mixed race Ladinos. They would tattoo like the mixed race slaves to differentiate them from the people that they were serving who were the same exact skin tone as them.
So it was like a nutritional serving label or something?
Essentially,
like,
it was...
has this much black in it or white?
Like they just
or
have something on the back
native.
Of the neck, just like darky. Just like, just throw it in there. They just throw it in there so you could never forget. Even if it was like a grandparent of a grandparent, you still were like locked in the servitude.
And we live in a racist world. And, and to think about, you know, slavery or this kind of oppression as something far, far back in history that
it's
doesn't
foolish.
Affect us on a subconscious or overt conscious way. All you have to look is at President Trump.
Exactly.
Who's putting immigrant children still to this day in little jails and
cells. And who said Aretha Franklin worked for him.
Yeah.
Because, what? He said that
what? Yeah, when she died, he was like, she worked for me on many occasions and I was, you know, she was a great performer and da-da-da-da-da. Like, his only image of a black woman could bet that she was providing a service for him.
You remember
God forbid she be an artist on her own merit. God forbid to his ass.
You remember when Obama became president and people were declaring that racism was over?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's an idiot. No. I was in fifth grade and I'm like, you're dumb. I knew. Cause, let me just put it to you this way. Racism doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It changes face. Like, just because people aren't like
race. What is it? Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It's just transferred.
Exactly.
Racism is not created or destroyed.
It's not created or, well, it is created, but
I
it's not destroyed.
I think we need to look
smooths.
At ways to ending racism in a way that allows everybody to be better and grow up.
Well, don't you love those people who are like, if everybody just had mixed kids, there'd be no racism because we'd all be the same thing. You're an idiot. No, that's not
why
would
it work like that?
It wouldn't work like that for the same reason that, like, where I'm from in Springfield, Illinois, white women who hate black people will sleep with black men and then have mixed kids and, like, call them the N-word when they don't clean their rooms. Just because you sleep with black people doesn't mean you see them as human or treat them well. Slave owners also slept with their subjects. Sexualizing people means nothing, absolutely nothing to their humanity and to their personhood as you see it.
So it's almost a decade since Grindr was on our phones and stuff like that. And there's been almost a cottage industry of articles and content on the internet sort of calling out, identifying, raising the alarm that these hookup apps are exploitive and
deeply
they're harmful
racist.
And deeply racist. And I kind of ask myself, it's like, why don't the people who actually make the apps, who are in control of it, change the way the apps function to discourage that type of behavior? Why is it necessary to put the responsibility always on the user base and never the administrators who make the apps?
Exactly, because this is such an old conversation we're having. Yeah. Like, I remember, I don't know if you guys do, but I'm like a gay stand-up comedy nerd. Like, 10 years ago, Alec Mappa had like a logo special called No Fats, No Femmes, No Asians.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like 10 years ago. Like, probably pre-Grindr, or maybe right around the time of its inception.
So are you saying that Grindr's doing a miserable failure at changing the behavior of their users?
I think that Grindr is representing its users. I think that, you know, if people are talking about this before, and you can ask any old gay black man what they think about anything, and they will just tell you how things have gone since 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. Like, it's still ugly.
So, you know, if you turn your app into a meat market, people are going to be treated as cattle.
Exactly.
So, you know, and one thing that I always remind people is like, you know, if you don't like Grindr, you don't have to use it. I can pick up people for sex on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter.
Okay,
shit,
well,
even like, you know, the coupon books at the grocery store.
Okay, well, just because you put your whole pic on Twitter does not mean that the rest of us have to resort to such extreme style.
But, yeah. But you know, like before these apps existed, a lot of gay guys used all kinds of platforms. You know, that's the reason why it was social media.
Okay, well, pre-internet, you know, where did you guys have sex? You were like in high school, it's probably there. But like, what did you guys do? Like,
we used to go out to bars and pick up guys.
Okay.
And bring them home.
Okay. Was there anywhere other than bars that like was really happening?
Well,
Fox
used to do like
classified
ads. People do that. There was also the phone lines.
Okay.
So I never did either of those, but I was more of like a meet you out in person kind of thing.
Okay.
But also, you know, I guess people would you'd go to bathhouses or cruise the park. They used to have many places in Chicago where people could just pick somebody up on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not as much a thing anymore.
No.
Unless you do it right.
What Mark is saying is that he's still out there and he's looking for you. That's, if you're paying attention, there's a wink and
like.
People
used to pick up, you know. One time in 1997, I was at the Max Ernst exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art in East Berlin. And this guy looked at me and started winking.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mae West. And I was like,
oh, yeah,
he's got something in his eye, poor man. Let me help him. So I went to followed him to the bathroom, and he whipped out his monster East Berlin dong, and the rest is herstory.
When he came, did he say, goodness had nothing to do with it, dearie? I really hope
it was in German.
He didn't speak a lick of English, and I didn't speak a lick of German.
But you sure did lick that dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you don't really need to, like, mm-hmm. talk to the person. Mm-hmm. You can handle it with a thumbs up. You know what's going on.
And so, yeah.
But, things have changed, and it just has made it so much easier for people to find sex now because of these apps.
Oh, totally.
But like we were saying, it's like, because it's easier, it's also easier to discriminate against people. You think of it as just something that's very disposable in some ways.
Yeah. The way that I really see it on Grindr, and if you guys still have it, I definitely want you to look at this if you haven't noticed it yet.
What's that?
Most black men on Grindr will list themselves as mixed so they don't get cut out of your search results.
Ah.
Because you can actually, like, remove a race.
Because if you have Grindr Extra, you can, like, filter stuff. And so most black men, if you take a look at your Grindr in every area I've ever lived in and traveled to, most black men list themselves as mixed because they don't want to get cut out.
I'm confused when I see a white guy who says mixed. I'm like, huh?
It's usually he's part Latino or something.
Yeah. It's a way of not erasing your Latino
heritage.
One guy
said he was mixed, and he's like, yeah, I'm Mexican and Peruvian. I'm like, okay, I guess that's mixed.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm from the north side and the south side of Chicago.
I'm a bloody and a crip.
Yeah.
That's what I bring to the table.
I was Juliet and the Montague and Capulet.
Oh, yes. Fighting Italians. Hot blooded, ready to go.
But, you know, it feels to me that a lot of these companies and articles and stuff, they seem to be almost capitalizing on something that exists
mm-hmm.
and the way we sort of fail each other as human beings and not really looking for, solutions to that problem. And I feel like having these kind of conversations on on and articles and videos. Like Grindr this week just announced, I guess, a video series called Kinder. And, you know, it's with mostly LGBT entertainers as their spokespersons. But, you know, one person that they picked is notorious for being hostile and mean and cruel to people in her own community, the Vixen. So, you
know, it was a real surprise to see her up there talking about, like, we can all do better. And you're like, yeah, we can all do better.
Have you been nice to anyone since the fifth grade? Like, really?
Well, and she's made some poor decisions, I think, you know. But that's, you know, it's she feels she stands by it, and she feels very proud of the way she behaved on RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't speak, you know. We've had a really disappointing experience with her. She was an old friend of ours, and we did an episode of Cooking with Drag Queens, and she sort of threw us under the bus. You know, and to me, I was like, I don't think it was that big of a deal, but she turned it into a much bigger deal after the fact. And, you know, to me, it's like, that's not a person who's kind, at the very least.
But maybe she'll sleep with everybody, and that's the real kindness that counts.
Hey, you know what? It's like, I swipe right a lot more than I swipe left.
Exactly.
But people person.
Reach out and touch somebody's dick. Like, just go. Just go and be a friend.
But at the core of all this stuff, I'm seeing a conversation that's not being had as much, is talking about gender nonconforming people, like the femmes, right? But also the masks. There's some people who are really, like, hostile to people who fit a very traditional role of masculinity. I also noticed that there's not a lot of discussion and discrimination against the elderly or people who are over 40 even.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, because gay old starts at 32.
Yeah.
You can maybe make it stretch out to, like, 35 if you have money. But, like, if you're poor and well, you know, staying that way, you're just old at 30. You just are.
You know, there's some truth to that to some degree, because you do see people that be like, don't be over 30. And it's just like, should I just die now? Like, what should I do? Like, or some people are like, don't be over 24. And you're like,
am
I supposed to do, not have birthdays anymore?
If they're like 19, I can kind of understand, like, I do not need a grown ass man. I'm not ready for that. If you have a mortgage, I don't want to talk about it. I get that. But if you're like 35 and only want to fuck people that are 18 and a half, you make me nervous. You make me very, very nervous. And I don't even want you at a junior high.
But at the core of all this, I see a lot of anger and frustration. And we're not talking about one thing, which is most of us are men. Male privilege. You know, like, we've all heard straight guys getting rejected by women and they call them lesbians. You know, they're like, stupid fucking dykes for not sucking my dick, you know?
Yeah.
And there is this, like, hostility that men have when someone says no to them, that they're turned it into a battle royale.
Like the incels, the involuntary celibates. Are you familiar with them?
I'm very familiar with the incels, and there are a lot of gay incels, and I'm ready for, like, that conversation to be
had.
Well,
that's the conversation we're having right now.
Bring it to me, baby.
Is the gay incels. Feed these me. People that are angry because some people won't have sex with them.
Yeah.
And they view it as, like, as like they have some kind of right to somebody else's body.
No one owes you cum. Right. I feel like everyone should know that. There's no bank. There's no nothing you can sign. There's no loan. Nobody owes you cum. It just stop it.
But it's disappointing when you develop a crush on someone based on their photo and you're like, oh my God, this person would be the most beautiful lover. You know, what was Madonna saying? Beautiful stranger. You know, it's like,
yes.
And then that person just turns out to be just a rotten to the core, mean to you. And they're like, they scold you. They're like, have I not told you 10 times already? Don't message me. Can't you take a hint? You know.
And I'm that a lot, don't you?
I got it.
Because I don't know. The thing about Fausto is he's persistent. Yeah. So that's why we have this podcast. We're in our 14th year. You know, because he's persistent. Yeah.
Baby, I'm like that guy with the doll head in Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. You thought you had thrown me off the bus, and I'm crawled up underneath, and I'm coming back for
exactly
more.
You're like gay cute Richard Nixon. He just wouldn't give up. Just wouldn't give up. Because you know that's how he got his wife. She was like, Pat was like, I really don't want to go out with you.
No, Richard.
Yeah, and she just wouldn't do it. And he said, fine, can I drive you while you go out with dates on other guys? And like, he give up. And
I mean,
it worked.
And
then he got thrown
defense,
out of the White House. So what's going to happen to you? Are they throwing you out of Steamworks? I want to know.
In my defense, what I do in life is not to compete with other people. And my value as a person is not determined by who loves or rejects me. accept or reject me. It's based on a much bigger picture and a bigger path.
Like the number on the scale.
Sort of, you know, it's a goal on the horizon for me. And to me, it's like, people are like, who are you competing with? You know, what your numbers, who's doing better than you in your podcast or your job, your career, your life. And I'm like, there will always be somebody who's smarter, more attractive, wealthier, sexier than you. Mm-hmm. So by you defining yourself against somebody else, you're always going to be unhappy.
Exactly.
You're perpetually sad.
You can do things just because you want to share your beauty with the world. You know, it doesn't have to be a competition. You can just be like, this is something I love to do. I'm a good interviewer. I love to have cool people on to do cool stuff. And then
number two is still a good spot.
People act like not being the best is the worst thing that could ever happen to them. Number two and number three are still really good spots. You don't have to be everything for everybody all the time.
I thought you were tying something scatological there for a second.
I shit in my mouth. But like, that's, you know.
But so gay incels, like there's this undercurrent of gay men who are furious and mad. Mm-hmm. And you see that even in these interviews that Grindr has, there's this undercurrent that person never crosses their mind. What can I do to give to others? How can I actually improve myself? Kinder, smarter, more generous to another human being?
Yeah, because people kind of forget about that whole thing that it's not all about you. They really like kind of just give up on that concept. And like, you can, like, if things aren't going your way, like the Christian thing I learned when I was a Southern Baptist, when you don't know what to do, go help somebody. Get your mind off your own shit.
That's very sweet.
Get your mind off your own shit. When you don't know what to do, go help somebody.
That's like good. Make a sandwich for somebody else.
Exactly.
Have you eaten something, by the way? Or do you want me to refill you that cocktail, Matt?
There's always time for a cocktail.
I am Kasha Davis. You think I believe in food? You think we eat? Come on. I can't be black and have a BMI over 21 on Grindr. Like, we have to be careful.
But there's a bubble of expectation, I think, in social media. And it's like, when you're going, and I noticed this especially on Facebook, people love to have these little rules, mm-hmm. and they're like, hear ye, like the Wizard of the
Wiz. They get their soapbox. They stand up on their soapbox, mm-hmm. yeah.
But it's like Richard Pryor in The Wiz, you know? This week is gold. And everybody starts dancing, changes into gold, you know? Yeah. It's like everyone has to sort of follow that trend, their whims and fancies. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, some days I feel like a nut and some days I don't.
Yeah, but that's always been, like, from what I've noticed with gay culture, haven't you noticed that over time there's always been, like, that decided thing that's hot that everyone looks like?
Oh, yeah.
There's always been those moments.
The clones. Like, yes. The gay clones. You always have some kind of gay clone. Like, everybody's wearing the popular same outfits. The same thing. Well, they kind of grew out of, like, in the 70s, and the Castro was the original gay clone.
Okay.
And then it became the 80s gay clone. And then the 90s gay clone was, like, shaved head, like, earrings kind of mm-hmm. thing. And now, what is the gay clone now is the undercut.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And the beard.
But people say that Mark and I go with the modern daddy gay clone look. And people ask us all the time, it's like, why'd you guys look like each other? And I was like, well, because we go to the same hairstylist, I guess. And he only knows how to cut one style of hair.
I've been going to somebody else.
Oh, you've been cheating on him.
You've got a side hoe.
He's been gone. And plus, I'm trying to grow my hair out longer.
It looks good.
Thank you.
I could see you with, like, a very nice, like, Farrah Fawcett feather. Like, if you really just wanted to go there.
I would love to go there. I've always... You know, she and I have the same birthday.
And you both look great in a red one piece.
you know, Farrah Fawcett and I went to the same art school.
Wow.
The University of Texas at Austin.
That's
we had the same teachers, even.
Okay, and they were like, you're not as pretty as her, you're going to fail. And
no, they were always like, Farrah Fawcett was a great student, and she was a great artist.
I can just imagine her just sitting in the back row of every class, just laughing for no reason. Because that's kind of all she always did in movies, just... Just for an hour and a half, and then, like, bell rings. I don't know.
She was not the Farrah Fawcett we know today.
She was not tethered to reality, except for when she was in that one movie where that guy was beating her ass, and she, like, killed him and ran away with her kids. In
the burning
like,
bed.
I was insane! Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was a ton of fun.
So besides, you know, putting no fats, no femmes, no Asians on
and
your...
And getting away from Farrah Fawcett and into gay men.
On your Grindr profile, your hookup app profile, which predates all these hookup apps, too.
Oh, yeah.
And any kind of platform that reduces people to their size of their body, to one photo, to, you know, you're going to have that type of behavior happening.
Totally.
What are some ways that gay guys exploit or abuse each other outside of the racist sphere in the description on these hookup apps?
Well, there's always like, I take care of my body. I should think you should take care of your body too, kind of thing. That's always mm-hmm. really douchey kind of thing.
Yeah. It's just like, I need a mirror because I'm that perfect and just give it to me. Like, it's insane.
Well, you know, it's important, you know, you're attracted. Maybe, you know, you might not be attracted to somebody that's like 300 pounds, you know, and nobody's saying that you have to, but it's yeah. also like, do you really have to kind of like put it out there like that?
Because exactly.
It's the way you're doing it. Like, you know, I'm fit, you know, I'm being to fit or something, you mm-hmm. know, rather than I take care of myself.
But ain't nobody, most people are illiterate. Nobody yeah. even reads those
oh,
things.
No.
I put it basically like Grindr's own majority owned by a Chinese national corporation who sells your personal data to the lowest common bidder.
Exactly.
So don't put anything on your profile that you're not wanting your boss to find out about.
Well, I hope my boss knows I'm hung. I hope I want a raise. I would like. I need.
And no one reads those. They're just reacting to that one photo of yeah. you and the words like, you know, looking for cum or whatever.
Yeah, those people that write those novels sometimes oh, on yeah. there. I'm just kind of like, I can be kind of like, especially more in Scruff, but I'm like, I'll read some of it just mm-hmm. to be like, let's see how seriously this person takes themselves.
And because some people are just like living their whole fantasy world. It's like, I live in a romantic 3-bedroom apartment in Edgewater, and I just like want to take you on a magic ride through my heart, through my life, and through my ass. Mm. Stop it. No.
You know, Amanda no. Lepore on MySpace had a really crazy, long, elaborate profile.
Was it a suicide note, or were you sure it was her profile?
It was great. It okay. was it inspired Mark to develop a Daphne Dumont, her department, a triple D.
I basically stole her bio and just changed the words around a little bit.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love some gay thievery.
Because it was so over the top, you know.
And it was she like the stalls were designed by Jason Wu, and it's like she has an exclusive line of, you know, ever from the moment she stepped onto the scene, she was a star. And it's all this, like,
true,
you know,
Hollywood glamour.
Yeah. And all this kind of crazy stuff. And part of me is like, I'm really entertained by reading those profiles.
It's so much funny to read yeah. because the people who have profiles like that, like Amanda, we always talk about Amanda when
Amanda
I'm here.
Lepore,
you kind of sound like her.
Because I do.
I wish my voice sounded like yours.
Start smoking Marlboro Menthol 100s.
Don't do that.
And Life's Hard. but what I love is like people who have those long involved yeah. bios, like Amanda, when you talk to them, they always give you one word answers to everything and are just chewing gum and staring at a clock. Like they've never been interested in anything. They're just like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like just no, nothing there, nothing there. Lights are off, but someone's home. Someone's home.
That's you know, one thing that drives me nuts, because, you know, I work out and I try to listen. I'm not going to post a photo of myself on the sofa with covered in Cheetos.
If you don't post a picture of you doing squats tomorrow, my life's over.
Well, I've been having so many problems with my squat and my core. Mm-hmm. And I just found this like new workout that I'm really excited about.
OK, I'm so happy for you and your abs.
Well, you know what I look like in real life.
I don't know anything. I only see you from the chin up.
But so you
we're
know,
all heads like
this
in Futurama.
Is a common thing. Like people start putting all their like sadness and insecurity, and they're just like, I'll never be as beautiful as you or stuff. And I'm like, listen, you know, beauty is a very relative thing, and just because I'm not interested in you doesn't mean somebody else will. And you got to get ready for your future boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Take good care of yourself. You know?
That's what goes deep with some of these conversations
exactly.
with these people. Whereas I'm just like, block.
Yeah, okay, because one beauty.
You ask for so much and give so little.
Oh, that's
there
is
you
that
are.
Is that a keyboard shortcut?
That is a keyboard shortcut. Because these people like just they want you to give so much of yourself to them. And this person's never sent you a photo, it doesn't even tell you anything about themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're basically giving free therapy to them. And they're like, hey, if you want to listen to me talk, go check out my podcast, you know.
Literally, and yeah. This happened to me this morning when I was on the CTA going to work.
Yeah.
I got in a full, like, probably, the whole exchange probably took 45 minutes, an argument with a man on Tinder, actually, because he said white boys preferred in his profile as the beginning. And I, like, because we matched, and like that, I hate when people do shit like that. It sets me up. off. Because on Tinder, it's a lot harder to read a bio because you just really see the pictures, kind of. And so I went in and I'm like, I thought you were really cute until I saw that you only liked white boys. And then he went back in and he's like, it's just a preference, man. Like, just be, I go out with anybody. It, like, doesn't matter. And
then take it off.
Exactly. If it doesn't matter, then take it off. And,
so did he take it off?
No. We just got into, like, an hour-long fight.
This guy is not woke.
No, not woke at all. And of me trying to explain to him how it's like a subtle reinforcement of white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, it's just a preference, man. And the way I knew, and I'm so going to get so much hate mail for this, send your hate mail to @MattBrownComic on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to get so much hate for this, but the way I could kind of tell that something like that was going to happen is that he was obviously black. He was a man, but like his hair was bleached. And to me, I kind of can kind of tell that things are kind of, if you're black and you want to bleach your natural hair, because it's like, why?
So this is a black guy who says he prefers dating white guys.
Yes, okay. Yes. Because to me, that's a black on black crime that actually bothers me. That's like, that like fully upsets me. But like he just had that there. And the way I could tell it's the bleached hair, because to me, it's like, you're like trying to wear features that do not biologically like possibly happen for you. Like you're just like, you're wearing the white supremacy on your head. You're like saying it like, I want to be not myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't fuck with that. So then for him to be like, white boys preferred, like, I want that closer to me and around me, and I want that. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
But it seems like, you know, race becomes a huge factor in these hookup apps, but no one takes into consideration other factors at all.
And you know, I think it's also important to remember that if you are in a mixed race relationship, chances are you're
turning
gay.
Heads.
You're gay. Because
straight people won't do it to themselves.
Straight people don't, I think, what is it, like, there was some statistic that came out a few years ago, and it was like 4 out of 6 or something like that, people that are in a mixed race relationship are gay people.
Yeah.
Queer people.
And that's a positive thing to remember.
That's very important to remember.
That as LGBT people, as gay men, we are much more wanting to have diversity in our lives than people who are not.
Right. Well, and so they have programs like this, but you have to remember this is a small vocal minority of people out there. And so, you know, I think most people are, you know, of course there's racism there, and of course white people really benefit from it. But there are a lot of people that, you know, once you get over the idea of like hooking up with somebody of the same sex, that race, you know, just isn't as big a deal as it is to other people.
Also, I feel like because we are so often people that do sort of get, if you're not removed from your family, you're removed from being inner sanctum with your family. Like, because you are sort of used to that sort of social distance in some ways, because being gay can be an isolating thing for a lot of people. You can forget about things like age. Mm-hmm. You can sometimes let yourself forget about things like race, because you're just sort of, these are the community of people that are going to accept me. Mm-hmm. And so I can't be worried about detail, because I may not have a lot of options. Because, you know, we are a lot of people who have to make our own families a lot of the time. And so a lot of people that maybe when they were 17 and came out might have been a little racist suddenly realized, well, all the people that want to be my friends are black and Asian, so maybe I should shut the fuck up and open my eyes.
And that's the thing, too, is like, as queer people, we're in this community, and we all have to come together because we are such a small population.
Come together right now.
And so, you know, we're all
inside of me. That's not the Beatles song. But
and so we're, you know, a lot of places, you know, in the straight world, white people can go to their own bar, you know, and black people go to their own places. But when you go to a gay bar, it's like everybody goes there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so you're around people that are from different backgrounds.
But that's also because we feel like we need to be everybody's friend, because we are just so kicked out of everywhere. I think if it was up to us, we would not let your straight Asian girlfriend and everybody and their fat sister come on into the bar. I feel like if it was really, really up to us, it'd be a little bit more singular, like everyone else's spaces are. But
so we're the middle child of
society.
That's
our designation. Like, we are like, okay, fine, baby, be my friend. I'll make it work.
Well,
like,
not always.
To a point.
When Fausto and I were sitting in a cafe in Toronto, and we're having something to eat in the gay neighborhood, and this bridal party, this hen party came by.
Oh, yes.
They were having their bat, and she had a blow-up penis, and she was just like, do you want to kiss my penis? And I was just like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, no. She's like, come on, kiss my penis. And I'm like, I've said no. And then I said it like the third time, and Fausto's like, started pointing fingers at her. What did you say to her?
It was a very curb your enthusiasm moment. I just stood up and I'm like, you are being a bully and you're being abusive, you are not welcome here. And
you should know better than to come into a queer neighborhood with your you know, your privilege mm-hmm. and do this kind of thing. She's like, well, my best friend is gay. And then she's just like, and I said, well, your best friend should know should know better than to bring you into this
thing.
That's
beautiful.
And like she was just like, at first I was just kind of like, God, did I take it too far? But I told her no three times. Wait,
no. And then all the patrons in the restaurant, this is not a joke, they all went up, started applauding.
Yes.
Said I was just like, I was just channeling you.
Don't you love when you get an applause break in real life and not on stage? Because it doesn't happen often, but when you make it happen, it's like, I did it, sister.
I was just channeling Larry David.
And one of them was a straight couple. They're just like, oh my God, that was so great. I enjoyed that so much. I'm like, well, you know, it's just obnoxious. Not right.
Exactly.
And like, if she was marrying a woman or she was marrying a trans dude or something like
you'd have listened to her a little bit more.
I would have listened a bit more, but you know, no still means no.
Well, she walked up to me and was like, eat my watermelon. I told her to go fuck her mother. So, like, you know, you kind of, I get that. I get the going full there.
One of the worst behaviors that doesn't get talked about is, we call it catfishing.
Oh, yes.
Which to me, I'm like, I have to admit that sometimes I've been catfished and I played along with the game.
You know you're being lied to.
Because I want to believe in the lie.
Yeah.
I'm like Fox Mulder and the X-Files. Mm. I want to believe.
Yeah. And you can tell you're being catfished because the photos, they don't send any photos, or the photos they send are too good to be true. They try and get you off the app and mm-hmm. onto their phone to mm-hmm. text because they don't want to get reported.
Oh, yeah.
Or they want to talk to you on the phone. If they want to have phone sex, then you know they don't look anything like their pictures.
Oh, yeah. Because they're trying to, like, get... If you're trying that bad, that instantly to get an emotional connection to somebody, because like you're like trying to make them not like you want phone sex on like the second interaction.
Mm-hmm. There's some good shows on the Feast of Fun archive, feastoffun.com/plus, search catfishing. And you can listen to some true real life stories of some of our listeners who have been catfished to a point that it just turned into extreme drama. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been catfished where you show up at somebody's like at the front door and they're like, I'll be down in 2 minutes, and then they don't come down in 2 minutes. They're like, oh, just give me a few more minutes, and you're like, I've waited 10 minutes already, like they're not coming.
Last night, actually, I had
this
a guy. No, he didn't leave. It took him fully like 12 minutes to come down because he's like, I just had the app open on my nightstand and then all four of your messages came at once. And I'm like, uh-huh. I don't know. I got in the apartment. I got some ass. But, like, it's just like you're making something up. There's always a story and, like, a something. Mm-hmm. There's always an extra to it.
There's buyer's remorse.
There's too much explanation.
There's buyer's remorse is what you're saying.
Sometimes. Yeah. Now, speaking of buyer's remorse, I have a story that we can bring out from my archives. There's no mattbrowncomic.com/plus, even though there's a full website and I did pay for it this month. So go check it out while it's there. this comes from about 2 years ago when I first moved to Chicago and I was living in the dorms. Most of my friends were Black and Latino, and I had a ton of Black and Latino guy friends. Those were just like who I was like dorming with and who I was around just like immediately. So like my like group of like 12, 15 people. It was all that. And so my friend Alexis, he had this guy that he brought over from Grindr that ended up not looking like the way he thought he was going to. Like, it was still definitely him. They were definitely his pictures. But, like, the filters were just, like, kind of throwing you off what your actual moving target in front of you was. Mm. Like, the pictures, you thought you were getting 7, and then in person it was, like, a strong 5 if you were, like, into it.
Sure.
And so
those filters can work wonders.
Exactly. They can give you 2 points. They can really just like bop, 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 Bridget Jones Diary you all the way up. And so Alexis did not want to sleep with this guy, but he thought, I don't think Matt's doing anything tonight. So he literally brought me down to one of the common areas on like the dorms that we were hanging out with to see this guy, to be like, you want to fuck him? Because like, I'm not touching it. Like, like, I can't do it, but like, if you want to, be my guest. And I couldn't do it either, but I paid for his Uber home because I felt bad. So it's like a full circle. It's a full circle.
Wait, you paid somebody's Uber?
I have $7 if you've been that embarrassed. Yes, I do. If you've been that thoroughly
embarrassed. Sometimes being able to put someone in an Uber and get them out the fuck out of your life.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing, yeah.
It's a blessing. Like, I love the Lord. He heard my cry.
Oh, yeah.
It was serious. Because
worst thing that can happen is someone comes over and maybe they look exactly like the way they do, mm-hmm. but they're like, I've been drinking all night long. And I'm on drugs and la la.
Yeah.
I got whiskey dick. I got meth dick. I got meth whiskey dick.
And you're like, I got meth with me. You want some?
Uber.
I got everything.
Uber.
Just like
get the fuck out of here.
Like some people are not supposed to be around for a long time.
Well, yeah. You know, and there's no shame in turning somebody away. Just being like, listen, this is not going to work out.
No.
What's a good way to say no in a way that is kind? Because sometimes
how do you turn the errant dick away? How do you just be like, stop it? I've had enough.
Can we role play
that I'm pretty,
right now?
But I just need it gone.
Here, let's all pretend like we're saying no to each
Marco,
other.
Try and get me the fuck out of your house. Mark, get me the fuck out of your house.
You know, Matt, I just don't think this is going to work out today. It's just, I'm not feeling it.
Is it because I'm fat? It's a stretch marks, isn't it? I have wall-to-wall stretch marks and you hate me. And you're going to tell everyone on Grindr now, aren't you?
I'm not going to tell anybody. It's just not going to work out between us. The door is right there. Here, just...
Why are you saying my teeth are yellow? I'm so hurt and so insulted. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you have to be like this, Mark. I want to have this really nice time.
You'll be fine.
Can you come in a Tupperware jar and let me take it home with me? I need you.
No, because you're planted on a crime scene.
Okay, fine. I guess I'll leave. So, yeah, that's how we do it. That's how we do it.
I think it's important to say, like, also talk about your feelings and not the other person. So, like...
Because I'm just playing needy to the end. That was real life.
That's real life. but it's not saying... And I know this is a cliche. It's not you. It's me. But it's like... I'm just not feeling it. I'm not ready for this. And I apologize for having you come over or for taking up your time if you're coming over mm-hmm. to their location. But this is not a connection that I'm feeling. And, you know, I'm going to go.
Oh, here's an idea. Mm-hmm. Act like you have erectile dysfunction. Be like, my Cialis just isn't working. I'm sorry. I would love to. But, like, my body's not going to cooperate. Do you think someone would buy that? Do you think they would buy that?
Like, a medical excuse.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, it's the doctor's note if
my
I can't
blood pressure's
you.
Too high. But men's rejection's God's protection, you know? For someone saying no to you, they're opening up the time and space for someone else to come along.
Exactly. And like, what if the person that's saying no to you has like gonorrhea and SIDA? Like, I mean, it's okay.
And sometimes when that person says yes... They have all kinds of shit, you know.
Exactly.
They got Puerto Rican judo.
Ooh,
do you know
girl.
What Puerto Rican judo is?
No, I don't, but I'm
judo itchy. Know what kind of crazy shit they got going on.
Me encanta el acento.
Gracias a la orden. And so part of it is like, you know, I think we don't have the vocabulary to talk to each other in a way that is asset oriented and that we have a really, really hard time creating space to hear no and to say no.
Oh, definitely.
And so we may not be, you know, Brent Kavanaugh strangling a woman and gang raping her in order to get off, but we're certainly, you know, putting ourselves in situations that are exploitive or painful or rude.
Here's the thing, we don't need to be.
Yeah.
None of my friends that have JDs have the physical strength to be able to do that. So I'm just like,
what's a JD?
Juris doctor. Like any of my friends who are like hardcore lawyers like that, like they're not strangle material. I just want to know how
their hands aren't strong enough.
They were teenagers though.
Okay. Okay. You know? So it was like some testosterone. Like it was,
young and they went to an all boys school. So,
he hadn't seen pussy in years and he just didn't know what to do. And so he had to try to kill it. Okay, yeah. Sometimes guys are like that.
You know, now the two more women have come forward, and mm-hmm. basically they would spike the punch and get these girls really, really drunk and just, like, line up a train outside the door and have sex with them.
As a young lady, I'm not against that.
You know, when I went to college, too, and in high school and people had talked about those kinds of things happening. I never witnessed that kind of thing happening. You know, and if it's a woman's choice, why not?
Definitely.
But at what point in time is she able to make that choice if she's so wasted?
What I find really interesting, though, is like, and I like that we are able to have a transgenerational conversation here, because I think you guys have definitely seen the public conversation on a shift over the past 10 years.
Without a doubt.
Alcohol used to be how you got laid, and now if someone's had a drink, that their yes or no isn't worth it. which mm-hmm. I find very interesting how that just kind of happened out of nowhere. Because, like, 80s, 90s, 2000s, like, alcohol was a part of how you got fucked.
Oh, yeah. But, well, even yeah. in the gay world, it was like, you know, how do you turn a Latino's gay? Is you just give them a six-pack.
Exactly. You know? And they start drinking when they're 13. So, I mean, you can start whenever you want.
But part of it is like, you know, I've been in situations where the guy was so intoxicated, he just basically was like, you know, passing out or just like ready to vomit and stuff. And I'm
the
just
motion
like,
would have made him throw up on your sheets.
And then, you know, like he's asking me to, you know, do something things. Sexual with him while he's unconscious. And I just felt so, it just felt so inherently wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to put this guy in a cab and get him out of my house in case he dies here.
You just said cab. Oh, I'm so hurt.
You know? And it was like, I remember one time pulling a guy's wallet out and looking at his home address on his driver's license mm-hmm. and giving the cab driver like $30 and say, listen, this guy's just, you know, he's wasted, you he know? Can't. And part of it is just like, you know, like you want this person to do well, but you brought this person yeah. home. You don't know who this person is. You don't know, you know, and that's the reality of the situation. We mm-hmm. put ourselves in dangerous situations today that we just didn't have the opportunity to do so in the past.
I was just thinking about this when I was going to a hookup. Mm-hmm. Gay men are the easiest population to kidnap in the world. All you have to do is pretend to be yeah. a gay guy on Grindr, give me an address, and I'll go.
Well, that happens in Russia.
Let's go.
A lot of, like, you know, gangs and groups, vigilante groups, they actually, like, seduce gay men to showing up, and they tie them up and torture them.
I literally saw an article about that in the Tribune a couple yeah. months ago. And, like, because, like, the guys that do it here, it's more, like, on the West Side and stuff. And, like, as a gay man, like, that's really, really scary. But, like, as a black man, that's a good fucking hustle. Like, it kind of, I see both sides of it. Because, like, we have expendable income and we will go where you tell us to go if you say there's dick there. Like, yeah. It makes sense.
I try not to carry too much money. I go places like that.
Oh, you don't have $300 cash at all given moments? Just like, hey, make it rain.
I've got into the wrong apartment before.
Really?
One time I went over to somebody's apartment and I opened the door and they wanted me.
There's an old like, white woman.
They were like, I'll be in the bedroom. Just take off your clothes and come into the bedroom.
I will never do that shit because that happens.
Yeah. And so then I went in and I was just like, and the apartment was so messy, filthy. I didn't even know where I would put my clothes.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, this is weird. And I saw the TV on. So I'm like, let me go talk to somebody. So I went over. The Game of Thrones was and mm-hmm. the place was pitch dark. Yeah. Right, except for this TV. And I see this guy on the couch and I'm just like, that's not him from the photos. No. I'm like, let me just go to the bedroom and see what's happening. And so I go down the hallway and I had to literally like step over like pillows and stuff in the hallway
and
to
dog
get,
shit like an episode of Hoarders.
It was
there's
very
a
much
dead
like
cat.
Yes. It was very much like that. And so then I go and there's somebody in the bedroom and this guy looks at me and I look at him. And I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong place. He goes, yeah, I think you are too. Like very totally like nonplussed.
If you were black, you'd have three bullet holes in your chest.
That's what I was thinking.
I need
thinking.
You to know that.
That's what I was thinking. So I left and then I looked at the number. I'm like, oh shit, I got the wrong number on the door.
Dyslexia will pick its moments to make a presence. Yeah.
Have you seen China's new skyscraper, the Guangxi New Media Center?
It gets thinner and thinner towards the tip, which I like. It's easy entry.
It's a dong and balls.
It fully looks like a dick and balls. Do you think that was on purpose?
I think it was on purpose.
Or maybe they're just really artistic and didn't see it because they're better than us.
Is that building really big or is it like, I mean, because that seems like a lot of money to spend to make a big giant dick.
It's at least 5 inches long. I saw.
I think it's pretty big. I mean, it looks like it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, 13, you know, at least 20 stories.
She's sizable.
Are you familiar with the vagina-shaped building here in Chicago, the Crane Communications Building? Now, all we need to do is, you know, set up a summit.
Well, what's great about this thing is, like, it shoots fireworks out the top.
That's nice.
Your dick doesn't do that?
No, white.
You need the upgrade. You need the upgrade.
You know.
Go to iOS. Go to the Apple Store.
Out.
Go to the Apple Store. Stick your dick
but
in the iPort charger.
Full on ejaculating, and the balls tense up and everything. It's great.
Oh, that's it's lifelike. Yeah, it's like those robots that we can all buy.
It's like King Kong or Godzilla's dildo. It'd be like, come over and sit on this Godzilla.
Oh yeah, because Godzilla's a bottom. Like you can do whatever you want on the top of that building.
He's so
but
angry.
Like he had that white girl in his arms because he wanted to do her roots. It was like Godzilla's a bottom. Godzilla is a bottom.
This weekend is, I guess, RuPaul's Drag Con in New York City. And we've been helping Vivacious behind the scenes.
Fabulous.
Graphics for her boof.
Yes, B-O-O-F.
That's how she said boof.
Boof. And so we're like, this is really funny.
Oh, yes.
Boof.
Boof.
And so she's at Boof 405. If you're a listener to the show,
yes.
Go say hi to our gal pal Vivacious, and she'll give you a secret gift.
She's going to give you some boof therapy.
Exactly.
And I was reading that Kavanaugh's high school yearbook. One of the things it says, like boofed team boof or something thing. Like that. And I guess boofed also means like anal sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Butt fuck.
Okay. One of my favorite writers, we should so do an episode about her. Her name is Kola Boof. And she writes a ton. She's like an African writer, and she writes a ton of like very like womanist literature about like a lot of different forms. And she was like a like kidnapped mistress of Osama bin Laden in the 90s. So like she's got stories to tell. So like her novels are fun, but like the autobiography's wild. And her last name's Boof. Kola Boof.
Boof. Shia LaBeouf.
We're friends on Twitter. You should follow her.
Well, Boof is also like French meat. Beef. Really? Boof. French, right?
I my French is so bad. I have no idea.
Boof, right?
Boof.
Boof. Boof.
But there's an B-E-O-U-F.
Yeah, but I like to say B-O-O-F.
Like Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, exactly.
But he's Jewish, so maybe that's like the other part of France.
He's a French Jew, isn't he?
Okay. Like, well, because like when Queen Isabella did the Great Expulsion and all the Jews had to leave Spain, they went right to France. Maybe that's what happened.
A lot of them went to Amsterdam.
Oh, true. That's why there's wheat there.
Mm-hmm. Why there's what, weed?
Yes, 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 yes. Jewish people love the weed.
So,
listen, these are the world's best artists, best writers, best painters, best everything. Of course they're going to fucking smoke weed. Mm. Pay attention to the comedy and the art that you consume and the music. Pay attention.
So, wrapping all this stuff up, how can we be stronger, kinder, gentler, more loving to each other?
The first thing you could do is reach out and touch somebody's hand. Just go listen to Diana Ross. Just go do that. You'll like already start to feel more nurtured. Reach out and touch somebody's hand.
True. I know a few people who, you know, they are really attractive, great shape, good looking young men, regardless of their race. Some are African American. Other people are white.
Most of them are Pacific Latino. Islanders.
Or Pacific Islander, and their social media is chock full how they're not getting the sex that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the people that they do have sex with are hooking up with them because of who they are. Mm-hmm. And the people who are rejecting them, they're rejecting them because of who they are. So literally,
absolutely, it works
if you
both
suck
ways.
The dick or don't suck the dick, you don't win.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like I always say, like I, as a gay man, like you have to follow some of the straight guy rules as far as how to date and how to have sex. But you also get to follow some of the girl rules. So
what are the girl rules?
The girl rules are like, I'm light skinned and I have green eyes, so I can get sex whenever I want it. Like, that's kind of the girl rules on that. But like the guy rules on it are sort of like, even if you're gay, like you still kind of have to have a job. Like you can't be like fully broke. Like you can't like not present yourself with something to
offer. I saw a t-shirt one time. Was like, if you want to get with me, man, you got to have three things, a car, a job, and a credit card.
You can be poor by yourself. You can be poor by your fucking self.
I can do bad all on my own, right?
Praise Medea.
All bad by myself.
Yes, yes.
She's not the first person to come up with that.
My arms are too short to box with God.
Tyler Perry's my favorite queen. God bless her. God bless her.
Greatest drag queen ever to walk the face of this earth.
Oh, yeah. She's a great young lady. She really is.
And she's a captain on Star Trek.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Star Trek reboot. Tyler Perry pays.
Don't you love
Admiral.
His fake straight guy voice where he's like,
I don't.
And he's like, he's like romantic opposite of Tandy Newton. And he's just like, I don't know how we can make this relationship work. Because you suck dick. You're gay. He's fucking gay. And I don't want to hear anything about it. He's wearing a Prairie House dress on stage. The man is gay. I don't know.
Yeah, Tyler, if you know, if you're a good looking white guy and you live in Atlanta, Georgia, you've know
get
somebody.
Get on prep now.
Who's
no,
been
I don't
with
think it's
Tyler
white.
Perry?
I think
no?
I think he's into Latino.
Latino,
man.
That's what it is.
And
yeah.
I think if you go upstairs at the mansion, you have to sign some kind of non-disclosure agreement.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you have to do the NDA as well as have a bob in your mouth the entire time, so you can't make any noise to anyone. Like he just likes full silence, like stuff your mouth like a pig. Like he just doesn't want to deal with you.
I'm mad I never smoked crack with Kevin Clash, the guy who does Elmo.
I'm mad Gene Simmons never ate my ass. That's a long tongue. I'm bitter about a lot of things. We share that in common, Fausto.
You know, Mark and I fell in love again at a Kiss concert.
Really?
Yeah. We went to see a Kiss Aerosmith concert, and I was grabbing getting some beers, and I looked up, and Gene's an old man.
Yeah.
And I look at
an old Jewish man. God bless him.
Old Jewish man in drag. And he's standing there, and blood's just coming out of his face. I'm like, oh my God, he fell.
No, that's Coke Nose, baby.
No, it was just part of his act.
Oh, beautiful.
So I'm just like, in my mind, I forgot that he's Kiss. Mm-hmm. And I just saw a beloved old entertainer who's weird. You know?
You thought you were watching Steve Needy in Vegas and you completely forgot yourself.
He fell off the stage and now he's bleeding. Will someone call a paramedic?
What are we going to do? Oh, they do this. And maybe Ozzy's going to eat a chicken.
You know that Ozzy Osbourne thought the bat was fake and that's why he bit the head off of it?
No, he was on drugs. That's a cute story. He was just fucked up.
Well, he was fucked up, but he still, when you're high in drugs, you're not like, oh, it'll be a good idea to bite the bat's head off.
But you also don't think it's a good idea to gouge your eyes out, but people still do it on meth anyway.
That's crocodile. That's crocodile.
Where your skin turns green and you have to do it in Russia? Sign me up. Where's the plane ticket?
I know, baby.
I'm ready. I am ready.
Folks, remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous, fantastic people like you. Listen to 14 years or 15 years. We lose count, but listen to our archives at feastoffun.com/plus. You can listen to previous shows with Matt Brown and Zach Stafford from Grindr and much more in-depth discussions on how to be stronger, faster, kinder, better.
And harder, because this is Grindr.
And harder. Mm-hmm. Daft Punk.
Yeah, serve a stiff dick if you do anything.
You know, those Daft Punk guys outside of the helmets, they're pretty cute.
Really? Because I would figure that, the Power Ranger should never take off the uniform. I just feel like you owe it to your public.
Mm. But the nice thing about the Daft Punk is, they could just hire actors to be them. And
they could be like the gorillas and never exist in reality.
The gorillas don't exist?
Well, I mean, they're just drawings. You see the music and you see, the album covers. But, you could conceptually see them as a band that's just, an idea.
Well, some people even argue that Biggie Smalls never existed.
I don't think he was real either. He was my birth father, but I don't think he was real. No. My birth parents are actually Murphy Brown and Bobby Brown. That's actually what I think happened.
There's a politician in Belgium who was complaining because he couldn't get his ads to run for office on Facebook because they wouldn't accept his last name.
What? What's his last name?
His first name is Luke and his last name is Anus.
Wait, listen.
Luke Anus.
I want to hear. I would vote a butthole into office tomorrow.
We have one in office around.
They're warm. They make me happy when I'm sad. Aww. Tastes great. Why wouldn't you want one in office? That's more than we can say about any of our current congressmen. Can you say that about Tammy Duckworth? No. I don't know. I just don't know.
And in Peru, they have two people running for office against each other. One of them, his first name is Hitler, and his opponent's name is Lenin.
When the fuck is Steve going to want to be mayor? When is Johnny going to want to get some ambition and get some civic-minded duty in his system? Mm-hmm. Why'd only Hitler and Lenin and Luke's anus and everyone else want to change the world?
Hitler always says, I'm the good Hitler.
Not a selling point. I don't want to be near any Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, remember, are you registered? Vote, baby, vote. The best way. Don't boo. Vote. Please go vote. Find out if you're registered to vote. Go to vote.org or iwillvote.com. These are all sort of a third party, but, legit websites that check your name to see if you're registered to vote. And if not, they send you on your way to...
Exactly.
Vote.org or iwillvote.com.
Because I think voting is a joke, but you should do whatever makes you feel right.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are registered to vote, right?
Yeah, I did it in 2016. I don't know if I'm ever going to do it again, but
Will you be my plus one for voting in October?
Sure.
In November, sorry.
Please put me in your purse like a Yorkie.
No, I'm asking people to bring somebody they don't live with to the polls, make sure they're registered to vote. So you have to have a plus one.
Okay.
And so that way we're doubling our number of votes that we normally would. And you strike me as somebody who would blow off voting.
Well, okay. So this is
the thing. I want you to be my plus one.
This is the thing. I think it's really important for people who believe in it. I think if Russia bought this one, they're going to buy the rest of them. So I kind of throw my hat in. But if it makes you feel good, do it, fam.
The way I think part of it is they spend a lot of money making you feel that way. And so if you feel like your vote doesn't matter, that's a big part of the reason why
the propaganda worked. Don't listen to me. Go vote.
Go vote. Go vote.org. You're my plus one. We're going to document
Look who
this.
I just found on Grindr.
I'm so pretty.
20 years old, 5'11, 150 pounds. Really, you weigh that much? I thought you were 135.
Oh, I haven't weighed 135 since like high school.
Pretty
mixed,
for me.
Slim, single. Wow.
And I can put, and I can put both my legs behind my ears.
Can you really?
No. Oh no, she's not flexible. Sex with me is not athletic or fun.
But
what are you
talking
about?
That your voice sounds like Amanda Lepore.
Men love this shit.
Not at all. Not at all.
So that will get you so late.
You want that in your ear? Give it to me.
I have sent photos of myself in drag to people because I write like I'm also amateur bodybuilder, professional drag queen. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, what the fuck is that about?
Which one's which?
Do you ever send like your because, you know, you have your A photos, your good photos, mm-hmm. and then you have your B photos, you know, kind of the ones that aren't like whatever. Do you ever, when you're not really interested in them, send them like your B and C photos?
Oh, yeah. I send them close ups of my varicose veins. I give them details they never wanted. I get in there.
If you don't love me at my worst, you're never going to have me at my best.
Exactly. Mm. And my best comes out about twice a year, and I'm not even there for it. So, like, hope
you're around. It's good to have, like, you know, unattractive photos of yourself that you can send to make sure that that person's really into you.
Yeah. Or you can just do what I do and send them everything that's ever been professionally done of you and then just hope that they think you're funny in person and don't recognize the dent in the forehead. You make
you're
your
like
choices.
A magician.
Exactly. It's smoke, it's mirrors, there's a whole fucking screen and scrim going on. It's a situation.
So you drop your pants and pull out a ribbons out of your butt.
I as I'm stripping, I sing do 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 like we're starting the circus. I'm very it's a whole show.
Well, shout out to all the clown fuckers in the world.
Exactly. Come find me in Lincoln Park. Come find me.
Where are you performing next this week?
Girl, I wish I knew. The shows that we have coming
up. How is that possible?
Because actually, my schedule this month is pretty light. But the one thing that I do have for sure coming up is I'm going to be doing a show in Joliet for all our suburban folks who are afraid of the city. I'm going to be in Joliet, Illinois.
That's near the prison.
Yes, it is. And near my boyfriend. And I like him locked up. Can't cheat on me. And yeah, I'm going to be there in Joliet doing the Drunken Donut on October 26th. And if you know of like a gay nursing home or bar mitzvah or anywhere that would have me, I'm always available. I'm always available.
Do you like to perform for people who are a little bit intoxicated or out of it?
Oh, I love drunk, straight, white people more than life itself. I went, oh, that's my audience. Yeah. That or a gay nursing home.
What? What? Like, so your cutoff age is 60?
90. My music taste would make complete sense if I was born in like 1941. So like 75.
So you have a lot of like age defying musical taste.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. I like, cause I trained to be a classical singer for 8 years. So like, I'm like into 1780s, not like 1980s. But with that being said, I also fuck with like Patti Smith and Hart and Diana Ross and like Barbra Streisand and like all, you know, the 70s Aretha, all like the 60s, 70s, 80s, like pop and soul music that like influences everything that we do now.
Yeah, I'm always trying to find like rare, strange music from with female vocalists in the past.
Do you guys know about Joe Brath?
No.
He was the first gay rock star. J-O-B-R-I-A-T-H. He did like two albums in the 70s, and he was like wilder than Lady Gaga and David Bowie put together. And like, he just kind of...
forgot about him.
Yeah, he was amazing. I love that man. And he had like, it was actually good music. And he was an amazing piano player. So yeah, if you're ever bored on Spotify...
Joe Brath, you mean.
You say it, Joe Brath.
Oh. Yeah, I'm looking at the album and it's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it was like, you would not think that anyone like that would have been able to like come and be a public figure in 1970s United States, but like he was out there and amazing.
Yeah, there's this one artist that I'm forgetting her name, but she was a drag queen.
Yeah,
and she had a number one chart topping hit.
Sylvester?
No, not Sylvester. Around the same time.
Okay,
I'm blanking on her name because I don't have it in front of me. But it's like dancing, dancing, dancing.
We pull so much inspiration.
The Olays or something like that. I forgot the name of it, but it's amazing. artist.
And, oh yeah, no, we pull so much inspiration for all the shit we do. I have gotten like ideas for bits out of going to live concerts and hearing music for the first time. It'll like, you know, encourage that other artistic thing of you to do.
Yeah, I'm forgetting the name of that artist and stuff. It's kind of a rare song, but if you message me on a Grindr or Scruff, Instagram, Twitter land,
or barebackbottoms.net, just absolutely. Wherever.
I'm on all those things. Instagram, Faustofernos or Feast of Fun. We respond to all your messages. Mm-hmm. Matt Brown, people can follow you.
They can follow me at Matt Brown Comic on Twitter, which is absolutely insane, and Matt Brown Comic on Instagram as well. I am everywhere and nowhere. I am Oblivion, and I am here for you.
You're Alpha and Omega, Destroyer of Worlds.
I might be Jesus. Might.
Thank you so much,
Matt.
Thank you,
Matt. It's always a pleasure. Come back again soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay?
I'm God. I told you I'm Kanye. That's really what it is.